So the sixth parasha, we have Parashas Toldos. Parashas Toldos, as we know, is the parasha which depicts the story, the struggle that exists from the beginning, even in utero, between Yaakov and Esav, and it doesn't get much better once they come into this world. And it's a major, major struggle, and the crescendo, the pinnacle of the story comes to the fore, as we know in the sixth parasha, when Yitzhak goes to tell Esav to go to the field to make him food for the bracha, and Rivka hears and tells Yaakov to go. And we know that end of the story, as it goes, the story is history, and Yaakov gets the brachas from his father Yitzchak. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Yaakov to get the brachas, and Yaakov got the brachas. It's fine. The simple question I want to ask today is the following simple question, which is, why in the world did the brachos have to come about in such a strange, crooked, weird way? If Hashem wanted Yitzchak to give the brachos to Yaakov, why couldn't it be straight up? Why couldn't Yitzchak call Yaakov in and say, Yankele, my tzaddiko, my ishtom yoshev olim, sit down, bring some food, I'll give you a bracha. Why does that have to be in trickery and sneaking, and this one comes in and this one goes out? It's a pella, Rav Osai. This is a question that should bother you. It's bothered me for many years. The truth is, I saw a pshat yesterday afternoon that I really enjoyed, and I want to share it with you and use this idea as the springboard of a discussion that we'll have today in honor of this week's parasha. In this sefer that I love to use, Alein Lo Shabeach, he quotes a pshat from the Sfas Emes, who quotes from the Chiddushi Arim the following pshat. A word of background. We know, Rabbi Osa, that Esav, with all of his shortcomings, and he did not lack shortcomings, he had many of those, but he had one thing that he excelled in, and that was Kibud Avayim. Not only to his father, which is very well known, it's clear, Kibud Avayim was Esav's baby, so to speak, his mitzvah. And he went all out to do whatever he could to take care of his father. Maybe he went overboard, maybe he tried to trick his father also, but it was clear that Esav's mitzvah, so to speak, was Kibud Avayim. Says the Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe, the following beautiful pshat. Yaakov, too, in order to get the brachos, had to be tested in this mitzvah of Kibud Avayim. And he had to see how much of an extreme, how far would Yaakov go to fulfill the mitzvah of Kibud Avayim? And how was the test? The test was as follows. His mother says, go and get the brachos. And if you look carefully at the psukim and the midrashim, Yaakov is scared of his mind. My father's going to feel me. The psukim describe, the midrash says, Yaakov the entire time is saying, oi, oi, oi. What a painful experience to do something which my father might not be happy with, and still to be Mekayim Kibud Avayim over here. In other words, Rabbi Osai, this was a mysterious nefesh to the max. The ultimate mysterious nefesh, when a person does it, even when it's not comfortable, even when it's not easy, even when it's difficult, the mitzvah of Kibud Avayim was what Yaakov needed to get the brachos, and therefore it had to be arranged, orchestrated in this way, says the Sfas Emes, in order that Yaakov should be able to be moser nefesh, to do the mitzvah of Kibud Avayim, totally in the fullest, totally in the way that he could. In this sefer, he brings a beautiful story. What does it mean to have mysterious nefesh for Kibud Avayim? What does it mean to instill in a person, not just to, when your dad says, can I have a cup of water, to bring a cup of water. When your mom says, can you take out the garbage, take out the garbage. What does it mean to have mysterious nefesh, to really give oneself over entirely for Kibud Avayim? Listen carefully, a beautiful story. The story happened many years ago. Where did it happen? The city over here is mentioned. It was a city in Romania, near the city of Iasi in Romania. I don't know where that is, but it's in Romania. Listen to this story. Beautiful story. It happened a bunch of years ago. The person involved in the story was a 9-year-old boy at the time. And Rahman al-Islam, his name was Shlomo Isaacson. He wasn't Reb Shlomo yet, he was just Shlomo at the time. And Rahman al-Islam, 9 years old, he lost his father. And he was saying Kaddish for his father. A 9-year-old boy saying Kaddish. It's always heart-wrenching. You ever walk into a shul, and you see a little boy who's not yet bar mitzvah, saying Kaddish for a parent, it's a painful experience. Anybody saying Kaddish is hard to see, but it's certainly a little kid. And he was very machbid to be there all the time. His mother made sure that no matter what, he'd say Kaddish. After all, it's Kibbutz Av for her father. Her father's not alive anymore. At least he could do is say Kaddish for a parent, Rahman al-Islam. So he went to shul every morning, early in the morning, and he went at night. And there was times in Romania at the time where there was very difficult times religiously, and it was dangerous at times to do it. And one time, in the summertime, there was a special fair, like a Luna Park, that came to town. 9-year-old boy, a big amusement park comes to town. Of course he wants to go to the amusement park. His mother says, listen, Shlomala, you want to go to the amusement park? It's fine, no problem, you can go. But just make sure you're in shul for Mincha and Meir, so you can say Kaddish for your father. You're an Avelis for your father. In Romania at the time, Shkia was 9:30 p.m., late at night. And he's in a Luna Park, and he's a 9-year-old boy, and he gets carried away, like most of us might at an amusement park. So he loses track of time, literally, and he looks up, and he sees in the distance his mother coming. He looks at his watch, and the watch says 9:50 p.m. He missed Ma'ariv, missed Mincha Ma'ariv. His mother comes to him, he's on top of a ride, about to go down the ride, and mother says, you know, Tzadik, Shlemela, you're supposed to say Kaddish, you missed Kaddish. He felt very bad. She says, don't worry, come with me right now. She brings him to the shul in town and says, wait here. And she goes ahead and says, I'm going to get you a minion. I'm going to get 10 men from town to come and say Tehillim, a paragraph of Tehillim in the shul. So after that Tehillim, you'll recite Kaddish for your father. Now again, this is in Romania back in the day where it was dangerous to be out at these times. Not an hour after the minion was supposed to be 9:30, 10:30 at night, she was able to gather a minion, 10 people together, to come to the shul and say a paragraph of Tehillim so this little boy can say Kaddish for his father. And guess what? It stuck. Mesiras Nefesh, Kibud Avaim. Wow! To go that far for the mitzvah of Kibud Avaim, this is one beautiful insight and a beautiful story about this. Rabbi, look at the end of the parasha, you'll see a similar thing. At the end of the parasha, Yitzchak calls in Yaakov and he gives him a bracha and he says, don't take a wife from the Bnos Canaan. Go to Padan Aram, to Besuel's house, and take a wife from there. And it says, listen carefully. It says, Maftir, Parakhov Chas Pasuk Zayin, by Yishma Yaakov. Yaakov listens, El Aviv, the Elimo. Who's listening to? Both of his parents. And where does he go? To Padan Aram. Next Pasuk. Vayar Esav. Esav also sees. Ki ra'oz benos Kanan. Esav also sees. My father doesn't want me to marry a Kanani girl. It's almost like a metach, a tension in the parasha. Kibud Avaim. The person that does the better Kibud Avaim, the person that's more meticulous, that's more careful with doing Kibud Avaim over here in the parasha between Yaakov and Esav, he'll be the one that's zocha to the brachos. And Yaakov needed that push in Kibud Avaim in order for him to go ahead and be the one to get the brachos. Simple question I want to ask. We know there's a concept called Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh means doing things to the max, to the fullest. Adam was Moser Nefesh when he brought his son to that Akedah. That's Mesiras Nefesh. Who said, and why do you require Mesiras Nefesh for Kibud Avaim? Come on. Who said? Who told you so? What's the idea behind requiring Mesiras Nefesh for Kibud Avaim? So I was thinking a simple thought. My wife's in America, as you guys know, for another few hours, hopefully. Then she's going to have a plane. So for the past 5 days, I've been playing Daddy and Mommy. So Daddy I'm used to, and Mommy I'm not used to, because Mommy, Baruch Hashem, most of the year is home, and Mommy takes care of Mommy stuff. So what does it mean to Moser Nefesh for a child? It means that if I'm the only one home in the house at night, and the baby gets up at 1:30 last night in the morning, climbs out of his crib, which really happened, and was crying in his crib because he couldn't climb back into his crib. So first I got him a bottle, and he was crying again because he climbed out again. I had to go back down again to give him his bottle so he can climb back into his crib. And I hadn't gone to sleep much earlier than that. I was very tired. So I don't consider it a serious nefesh, but what parents do for children on both sides is a serious nefesh. No parent's ever not going to take care of a child at night, even though they got 3 hours of sleep. Parents, Baruch Hashem, if it's a healthy relationship between parents and children, are Moser Nefesh for their children. That's the way it's supposed to be. So how do you repay your parents a little bit for the mitzvahs that they do for you? The answer is kibud avim. But not just, Yoni, could I have a cup of water? Sure, Ma, you can have a cup of water. Not just that. But the only way to really do kibud avim properly is to be moser nefesh of kibud avim. It means that your parents went all out when they took care of you when you were little. Your parents didn't, like, you know, they weren't skimpy, like, and they didn't, like, you know, skimp out and, like, you know, not give you a bottle one day, or not give you formula when you needed it, or whatever, or not take care of you when everything happened to you. That's what parents do for children. That's what they're supposed to do. That's what we will do for our children one day, Rosh Hashem. But the point is, it goes through Mesiras Nefesh. The point is that parents are Mosir Nefesh for their children. And therefore, the only way to really, really repay parents properly is to do the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em back to the parents, to one's parents, with Mesiras Nefesh. One more Gemara, and then one closing experience that I have in my life to share with you. The Gemara in Maseches Kiddushin and the Sugyas of Kibud Av V'Em tells the following story. There was Rabbi Abo, the great Amor Rabbi Abo. So Abo says, Kigon Avimi Buri, my son Avimi, he was Mekayim Mitzvahs Kibud Av V'Em. Why? Says the Gemara, Chamisha Bnei Sam Chayav El Avimi. Avimi had five sons. Whenever Rabbi Abo, his father came to the door, Kari Abava, right, he ran, the Azilu Pasach, he went to the door and opened the door for him. And as he was running, he would say, V'amar, in, Adimati Lahasa. Until he would get there, before he would get to the door, he'd say, I'm coming. What does that mean? What's the Gemara telling us? What's the story? He was so careful. It wasn't just to appease. The point was that he wanted the mitzvah bishlemusa with completion. You can go to the door. That's true. Then the person's waiting for an extra second at the door. Where is he? Or you can say, I'm coming. And the person is more at ease and at peace the entire time. Because after all, you're coming to the door. You're on your way. It means trying to do the mitzvah of kibud av v'em bishlemusa with completion. And not just doing it to be yotzei. I will say, in my lifetime, I was zocher to witness unusual kibud av v'em. I would say certainly kibud av v'em with a mysterious nefesh. My mother, who should live and be well, so her parents, Baruch Hashem, both of them had arichas yamim. They both lived well into their 90s. My grandfather, Zichron Levracha, my mother's father, worked in the stock market since he was 20 years old, until he was 85 years old, 65 years in the stock market. He saw all the crashes and ups and downs, and he once had a stroke, and as soon as he recovered from his stroke, his first call was to his stockbroker. He said, "Hey, Mitch, how you doing?" And then he said, "How's Pfizer? You want Pfizer? How's my stock doing?" Like, he was, Mama Stocks was him, he was into stocks. A beautiful Jew, a davening Jew and a beautiful Jew. He didn't get sick a day in his life until he was 85. He got a stroke, unfortunately. The last years of his life, he was much slower. It's easy for parents to take, for children to take their parents and put them into a home. And he was certainly a candidate for a facilitated living place, for sure. He was a candidate easily for that kind of facility. My parents cleared out a whole part of the house and made a floor, basically, for my grandparents to live. And they moved into the house. Now, we discussed before, children, it's one thing to change a child's diaper. I don't mean to be graphic here. It's another thing to have your parents in diapers in your house. It's something called Depends. I don't know if you ever heard of these things. It's in the store. They sell them in CVS. I bought them many times in my life, my grandparents. Depends. It's a diaper for adults. They can't go to the bathroom properly. Rahman al-Islam. You know what it means to come full circle? It means that your parents are most nefesh for you, and then when your parents are almost as needy, if not more, than a little child, to take them in and to care for them and to just nurture them and to be there by their side and to literally not be able to go out anywhere because your parents need you in the house. And she wasn't, my mother was a 60-year-old woman at the time. She wasn't a little baby. She was a Baruch Hashem, a very accomplished Rebbe, and a very, very special. And she and my aunt took it upon themselves. This is their life right now. That's Mesiras Nefesh to the max. That's Kibud Av V'Em with Mesiras Nefesh. Now again, we don't look for opportunities like that. We want our parents to be well. They should live 120 years. They shouldn't have any health problems and issues. But the message that we got as children was so clear. And that is, there's nothing more important in your life than taking care of your parents. Even if it means missing out on your meeting, on your this, on your schedule, on your this, on your that. Keep it avayim. Akara satov, for what they've done to me, there's no bounds, no leaps. They brought me into the world. If it wasn't for them, I would not exist. There would not be a me. I wouldn't be here. That's why there was such a metach, a fight, a struggle between Yaakov and Esav. And Yaakov had to show, yeah, Esav is careful with kibbutz avayim, that's true. I'm not less. Whatever it takes, I'll do mesiras nefesh also do kibbutz avayim, because after all, this is a mitzvah that's of most importance. Rabosai, you should be zoche to, again, to have parents that live for 120 years without any issues or problems. But we should try our best before it gets to that point. To be mesiras nefesh kibbutz avayim, what does that mean? It means for us right now, we're in yeshiva, call home. If you call, call more. If they don't want you to call, call less. Hopefully they want you to call, so call more. Call your grandparents. It's also kibbutz avayim. If you only call them once since the year started, maybe you should call them a little more often. Grandparents really appreciate a phone call. It's not so much. A little extra push of kibbutz avayim will help us actually walk in the ways of Yaakov Avinu, who, according to the Sfas Emes, was zocha to get the brachos because he excelled in kibbutz avayim. He should be zocha to learn from the avos and try to excel in this mitzvah. And long mitzvahs. Have a great Shabbos, folks.